Oregon's unemployment rate hit a five-year low in November. The rate dropped to 7.3%, nearly identical to the rate in September of 2008. The unemployment rate is one number. There are plenty of others that lead to the rate and plenty of ways to interpret all those statistics. To help us surf the potential flood of information, we've asked on Guy Towers, who's a regional economist with the Oregon Employment Department. Guy, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. It's not like there won't be another set of numbers next month, so you're always working on the next range of things. Was there any particular celebration over hitting 7.3%?
Well, it's a good trend. We've been trending down for the past 3 or 4 years, so that's a good sign. And the job growth is actually picking up a little bit. If we look back to when we started kind of recovering out of this recession, in 2011, we were adding about 1,500 jobs a month. By 2012, about 1,800 jobs a month, and in 2013, our pace has picked up, adding nearly 3,100 jobs a month. So we're on track to get to that pre-recession level of employment, according to the Office of Economic Analysis, probably around the second quarter of 2015. So those trends are improving. While it's not great for everyone out there, we still have a lot of long-term unemployed. That's certainly been a challenge for those folks that have been out of work for, as we define that, 27 weeks or longer. That's still a sizable portion of our total unemployed. But that number has come down a little bit. There's still a lot of people working, we call part-time for economic reasons. That number matches about the same number as the total unemployed. And so there's still some challenges out there for folks. There's growing wage inequality. So those folks with more skills, more education are grabbing a larger share of the jobs over time. So there's challenges, but the overall trend has been improving in Oregon.
All right, you laid out a bunch of different areas we can explore here. First of all, has it been painfully slow to watch the numbers tick downward? You mentioned a downward trend, but it sounds like it has certainly not been a plunge by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, correct. It's really taken a long time. I mean, if you look at, you know, going back to 2008 to see these levels of unemployment. So it's been a tough road for Oregon to come back from that Great Recession. It was such a steep decline and such a long period of job loss for Oregon. We're kind of matching that deep recession that we saw back in the early 80s, if folks were around back then. So we're kind of matching that trend in terms of resuming job growth. Overall, Oregon lost about 146,000 jobs during the Great Recession. That was our peak job losses. And so we've gained back a lot of those jobs. We're back up, gained back since the recovery. About 92,700 jobs have come back, and we still need to add about another 54,000 to get back to that pre-recession level of employment in Oregon. So we are climbing back. The trend has been improving, but we still have a ways to go.
When you say that we've gained back 92,700 of the 146,000 jobs lost, that's just a numbers-for-numbers thing. It's not actually apples-to-apples necessarily, right? In fact, not all the jobs that were lost in some industries have come back?
Oh, no. We certainly are still below pre-recession levels of employment in a lot of industries. For example, manufacturing, we're still down about 16% from where we were, say, at the peak employment. That was around December of 2007. Was our peak employment before this Great Recession really hit. Construction is another area. We've seen some stronger growth statewide over the past year, and that's actually been one of the faster-growing sectors over the past year. But we're still down 27% from where we were during those peak housing boom years when things were just going at a frenzied pace in the construction sector. So we're still down 27% in construction. And financial activities is another one, kind of related to mortgage activity and overall financial activity, insurance and things like that, down close to 18%. Retail trade is another one that's a bit down below their pre-recession levels, down about 3%. And then, of course, transportation, warehousing, utilities, about 8% below where we were at that pre-recession level. Information is another one, and wholesale trade are still haven't come back to their what we saw before.
It seems like there are some interconnections. I mean, obviously everything in the economy is connected, I suppose, but specifically with things like manufacturing and construction in Oregon, if those are coming back slower, construction, as you pointed out, since home construction has not returned to pre-recession levels, then we're also talking potentially about the things that are used to build homes coming out of Oregon mills. Is that the manufacturing sector that is still lagging?
Right. Well, if we look at manufacturing in general, looking over the past year, wood products, it has gained jobs, but it's not really back to where we saw before the recession. So it's coming back a little bit stronger, especially in the southwestern corner of Oregon. We've had some growth in some smaller counties in the wood product sector, so that's been good for this area. Food manufacturing is an area that we have added quite a few jobs over the past year, but those jobs don't quite pay as well as, say, for example, computer, high-tech, machinery manufacturing, and things like that. So it's been kind of a mixed bag across the manufacturing sector. But overall, wood products in the past year were up about 700 jobs, so that's not really the largest component adding employment, but we have seen jobs come back in primary metal manufacturing, machinery manufacturing, fabricated metals and things like that. So a lot of those jobs are in the Portland area, the Willamette Valley area. So we have seen some growth down here as well. But a lot of our job growth that has come back in the manufacturing sector in southwest Oregon are in those wood products jobs. And those do tend to pay $40,000, $45,000, sometimes $50,000 a year. So that is a good sign for this region anyway.
Guy Towers is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is a regional economist with the Oregon Employment Department. We're talking about the fact that the unemployment rate got down to 7.3% in November of this year, nearly identical to the 7.2% in September of 2008. So over 5 years, finally about back to where we were. Join us on the Exchange with your comments or questions about the labor market and what's going on there. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, that's Jackson and Josephine counties, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to come back to one of the figures you mentioned earlier on. You said that there's about as many part-time workers as unemployed. Is that what you said?
Right. That's one number that's tracked as well are the people that are working, we call it part-time for economic reasons, and that means just that they wish they were working full-time, but they can't get enough hours. Their employers aren't offering them enough hours. Now, that number has come down as well, but not as fast as the overall trend in unemployment. If we look at our peak years of unemployment, total number of people unemployed in Oregon, that number has fallen by close to 40%. So that number has improved a little bit faster, whereas the people that are working part-time and wish they could be working full-time has only declined by about 13%. So that's just another measurement of slack in the labor market that shows there's definitely some need out there for jobs that offer more hours.
All right. So people are working in these jobs simply because they can't get any more time. They'd prefer to be working full-time, but they aren't. For
right.
Economic reasons, which explains the title there. Are there factors that mask potentially larger subsets of unemployment? Because obviously in supply and demand, you can either reduce supply, reduce demand, whatever. But if you've got a lowering number of unemployed, it could either be because they're getting jobs or because they just said, forget it, I'm retired, I'm not even going to consider myself unemployed anymore. Is that a significant subset here of the unemployed or people who've moved out of the category of the unemployed?
Well, one of the factors looking at overall labor force is we're having slower population growth in Oregon, and with an aging population, we do have people that are kind of retiring out of those peak working years, and also youth. That's really been one area where we haven't seen much improvement in their overall labor market conditions, especially for those younger folks in the labor force. The 16 to 24-year-olds, their unemployment rates in 2012, most recent we have available by demographic category, we're close to 18%, so much higher than the overall unemployment rate. So it's really been tough for younger workers to get back into the labor force. And, of course, there are some discouraged workers out there, people that just don't feel that they are have a job out there waiting for them. And so those folks are certainly a share of that overall slack in the labor force and the overall labor market conditions.
Guy, are there job categories that once were generally taken by youthful workers that are now taken by older workers? Much has been written by other economists about the fact that the reason that there's such a push to raise the minimum wage in fast food in particular is because there are people trying to make a living for families off of those jobs where there used to be jobs that went to high school kids.
Absolutely. There's certainly a crowding out effect where older workers have put off retirement, and with unemployment rates as high as they've been, that it's really an employer's market out there. So all things being equal, if they can hire somebody with more demonstrated work experience or skills, they're going to offer that job to those folks. And, you know, maybe a generation ago when unemployment rates were still lower than they are now, those jobs might have gone to youth. I know I did an analysis recently on Oregon's grocery store industry, and looking back in 1991, about 1 in 8 workers in Oregon's grocery store industry were ages 14 to 18. By 2012, it was 1 in 30. So part of it's just a change in the business model. You have folks that maybe might have been box boys or box girls back then that might have helped you out to your car with groceries, and a lot of those jobs have really gone away. For example, the ubiquitous bottle counting machine. You have to be able to bring your cans, and you'd have someone come from the back and likely be a teenager who would count those bottles and cans, and that's been replaced by a machine that does that. So some of that's technology, some of it's just a change in the business model, and part of it is just the slack in the labor market that really has kept older folks in the workforce longer. And there's just a myriad of other factors as well. People aren't sure about health insurance, so they need to stay employed because maybe their health insurance is through their employer, and so they don't want to give that up. So there's just been a lot of things that have kept people in the workforce longer. Of course, with so many homes being underwater and the housing market and housing prices the way they've been, there's less geographic mobility as well. So people aren't able to as easily sell their homes and maybe move to an area where the job prospects might be better. And so all those factors have created kind of a sticky labor market for people being able to geographically relocate.
Guy Towers, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a regional economist with the Oregon Employment Department. We're at 800-838-3760 on the Jefferson Exchange in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. I was writing down those figures as you were saying them about, I forget when in time it was you said, but 1 in 8 of grocery store workers were in that 14 to 18 age gap, and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. When you said 1 in 30, my jaw dropped instead. That's a huge difference.
Really, we've seen that across other industries as well. Jobs that typically gone to younger workers, and really most of those jobs where teens are employed, younger workers are employed, most of those are in retail trade and in accommodations and food services, the leisure and hospitality sectors.
A couple of things I want to ask about just in the way that things are figured, because every time the unemployment rate comes out, we see that the unemployment rate was blankety blank, seasonally adjusted. What are the adjustments that are made season by season?
Well, there's a typical trend that we go through a typical year. So unemployment rates tend to peak in January, February, and March. That is the time of the year where a lot of seasonal industries are pretty slow. So if you look at construction, leisure and hospitality, retail trade, you're past the holiday shopping season and ramp up for the holiday spending season. And so that time of year, we really see the highest unemployment rates, and that's a trend that kind of plays out each year. And the seasonal adjustment is just a way to kind of mathematically eliminate those seasonal peaks and valleys that we always see throughout the year to get to that underlying trend. So irregardless of what time of the year it is, we try to look at the seasonally adjusted number to see how is the overall economy doing, irregardless of those seasonal dips and valleys that we normally experience throughout the course of a 12-month cycle.
And then once you get the actual number published and you have the 7.3% for November, is there some revision that goes on backward because you get greater information later on?
Right. We'll revise those the next month. That's a preliminary number, so we'll revise those next month when we have more further information. And then each year when we have more complete data from employers' payroll tax records, because our monthly numbers, the monthly industry numbers, come from a sample, what's called the Current Employment Statistics Sample of Businesses in Oregon. And then we'll revise those numbers based on more complete employer payroll tax records when they file their annual or quarterly payroll tax records. Then we'll revise those payroll numbers, which are an input to those unemployment rate figures. So yes, it is a preliminary number, and so you should always kind of look at it. You know, a one-month change, I wouldn't pay too much attention to, because you really want to look at the longer-term trend. So if something changes a whole, much in 1 month, it's probably going to be smoothed out over time when we get more complete data from employers' payroll information.
5 years, though, to get back to approximately where we were, 5 years and 2 months to be right on the nose here, is that a longer than average cycle? I mean, we did call this the Great Recession. It was perceived as bigger than other recessions. And so was this cycle a great deal longer than in previous recessions?
It's really comparable to what we saw in the 80s for Oregon in terms of the depth of the recession. Actually, the recession in the 80s was a little bit steeper, but then jobs came back a bit faster. But right now we're 5 years, 6 years from peak employment. You know, that was back in 2007. And so we're kind of, over the past year or so, we're kind of matching that upward trend that we saw back in the 80s. So this one for Oregon, this recession was really comparable to what we saw back in the 1980s. If you remember back then, that was a recession where we lost population, where there were so many more jobs back in, say, for example, in manufacturing and natural resources industries, lumber and wood products. And when those jobs disappeared, there was actually out-migration in Oregon, which really hasn't happened historically. And that didn't happen during this recession. And that's one reason why the unemployment rate spiked so much, is because even though jobs were falling at a pretty rapid pace during the depths of that recession, we didn't see population loss. So people were still moving here, even if they didn't have prospects for a job, which in turn boosts the number of people in the labor force and boosts the number of people looking for work. So there's a lot of factors at play there. But, if you really have to go back 30 years to see something similar in terms of the length that it's taken to come back out of the hole that we were in.
And this set of numbers from November does back up, I believe, which I think you mentioned this earlier yourself about the fact that we see growth at the low end of the wage scale, but not so much in the middle.
No, and that's been a challenge going forward, too, is a lot of jobs are really more technical. They require higher levels of education and skills and experience. And those jobs that you could typically get with just a high school education tend to be lower paying these days. And so it's really a challenge for those folks.
All right, a lot of numbers behind the numbers, but a lot of good information in there and well interpreted as well. Guy Towers, regional economist with the Oregon Employment Department. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. That'll do it for Hour 1. In Hour 2, we'll talk to Dana Goodyear, New Yorker staff writer. Her book is Anything That Moves, Renegade Chefs, Fearless Eaters, and the Making of a New American Food Culture. Coming up after the top of the hour on the Jefferson Exchange.